Speaking on this program is Mark Lance.
John, the 13th chapter, but beginning in verse 1 of chapter 13, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. How much did he love us? To the very end, he gave his life for us on the cross. Jesus hasn't been crucified at this point, but who's he going to be crucified for? Sinners. You and me. People that have betrayed him, and yet he died on the cross for us. And brethren, that's the only way any of us can be saved, is the fact that we have been in sin. But thanks be to the blood of Jesus Christ, it washes away our sins because he loved us. Now here's something I want you to think about. Sometimes we feel like, well, nobody cares. Nobody knows how I feel. Jesus does. We can never truly say that nobody cares about us. We can never say that nobody knows how I feel, because Jesus does know how we feel, and he loved us unto the end. And even now, as his people, he has gone to heaven to prepare a place for us. And the Father's going to send him back. He's going to send it back for those that have followed him. How much does Jesus love us? Enough to give his life for us and to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we can also be in that same place. In verse 2 it says, and supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, brethren, here's something that's very, very important. Sometimes people take scripture and they misuse it. Well, the devil made me do it. That was a saying of Flip Wilson many years ago. These people that are very young probably don't know who that is, but the devil made him do it. You know, actually, Satan is powerful, but he cannot make us do anything. Now, he'll tempt us, he'll encourage us, but we make the choice ultimately of what to do. And you got to think about this. What did Paul say about evil communications, evil companions? They corrupt good morals. Now, let's think about some other situations. Sometimes somebody, a man may get drunk and he beats his wife, beats his children. Well, that's because he was drinking. That's not really him. Who made the choice to take that bottle and put it to their lips? The man that is drinking. Did the devil make him do it? He tempted him, but that man ultimately chose whether to drink or not. Now, if Satan could force us beyond our will to do something, well, it wouldn't be our fault if we sinned. We couldn't be held accountable. But God will hold us accountable, because when we sin, it's because we have given into the temptation that Satan has put before us. So we need to make sure that we understand how Satan entered into Judas. Judas could have done right. And there's probably many occasions that Judas did do right. But this time he chose not to, and he's going to betray the Lord. But the devil made me do it. No, you make a choice. You make a choice as to where you put yourself, whether to come to services tonight. You that are here have made a choice to come and worship God. You know, those that are members of the body of Christ here at Chalmette that are not here. I'm not talking about somebody that's working or sick, but those that are not here this evening, they have made a deliberate choice not to come, to forsake the assembly of the gathering of the saints together. Well, they're missing out on something. They're also violating scriptures. So who made them do it? Well, Satan tempts us to do certain things, but brethren, when it comes down to it, only mankind decides what we're going to do. But in verse 3 he says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now here's another scripture that's been misused by religious groups, that we're supposed to have a foot washing service. But now, why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Well, now, as I said at the very beginning, he's going to teach humility, and that's the overriding reason. But let me give you another reason. Why did he wash their feet? Because they were dirty. Now, how do we know this? Well, you're just speculating. No, let's do a little bit more than speculate. Let's go back to the book of Genesis chapter 43, and let's look at verse 24. And if I were you, and I have it written there, I wrote this verse by this text in John chapter 13. But go back to Genesis, the 43rd chapter, and let's look at verse 24. It says, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. They had been traveling. Their feet were dirty. It was a custom during that time. They wore what we would basically call sandals. Well, their feet were dirty. So they washed them. It was a custom. You got to somebody's house. Well, you gave them what they needed to wash their feet. Jesus is doing that. He's not teaching this as a worship service that we need to wash each other's feet. He's teaching them humility and service. Now, and here's a key to our study. Who is doing the washing of the feet? This is the Son of God, the Lord and Savior. He's willing to get down on His knees and wash the feet of other people. Now, this runs contrary to the way that we tend to think, doesn't it? We want to be served. But you know the greatest way to help God and be a Christian is to be of service to God. And sometimes we have to do jobs that not everybody knows about. They may not be the most pleasant job. And sometimes you may have to get your hands dirty in order to serve God. But Jesus was willing to do that. He was willing to wash their feet and teach them a lesson that even the Lord is willing to humble Himself to the point that He would wash their feet. See, that would have been a job maybe for a servant to do. Not for the Lord and Master. Not for the one that's the Son of God. But He was willing to do that. Now, let's ask a question for ourselves. If Jesus was willing to do that, if He was willing to make Himself a servant and leave the glories of heaven, what am I willing to do for God? How far will I go? What if somebody doesn't see what I'm doing? Am I still willing to serve God? Will I go out of my way? Will I do things that maybe I don't really particularly always enjoy doing? You know, washing somebody's feet may not be the most fun in the world. But sometimes you go out of your way. Why? Because our Lord and Savior has already set the example for us that He came out of His way, far out of His way, in order to serve us and make salvation possible for us. And the very least that we can do is to serve Him because He has done that for us. In verse 6 it says, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Simon, you're going to learn. You're going to learn more about what's going on. You're going to quit fighting for position. And Simon was one of those, Lord, I would even die for you. Well, he even makes that claim in this chapter. And Jesus tells him, before the cock crows, before that rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter, you're not ready yet. But now I think, brethren, we learn from this, Simon's going to understand these things more later on. We see a person that obeys the gospel. Brethren, if you're older and more mature, if you've been a Christian longer, you should understand where that person is. They are just starting out. Don't expect them to know what somebody that's been a member 10 years knows. Don't expect them to know what somebody that's been a member for 20 years knows. Give them time to learn. Jesus did this with the apostles. He gave them time to learn. And there's things that He taught them at one point. They didn't fully understand it till later on. And so we have to do the same, you know, even in our Bible classes. We may make a point, and maybe each student doesn't comprehend all that right then. But once they keep getting pieces here and pieces there, they start putting them all together, and the picture becomes clear. They start understanding. So give people time to grow, that they may develop. If you expect somebody to be a grown and mature adult when they're first born, you're expecting something that they cannot give. And if you're not careful, you'll push them away because we're expecting something that they're not capable of doing at that time. And we, as older members of the body of Christ, need to understand that. We do that with our physical children. When we have a new baby, we even expect the baby to go out and wash the car, you know, 6 months old. Why? Not capable of it. Well, there's certain things that at 6 months old, as a babe in Christ, that somebody may not be able to do. But once they grow and learn more things and have opportunity to see how it's done, and maybe you take them under your arm and train them, then they can learn better how to do certain things. In verse 8, Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash not thy feet, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now he's misunderstanding. He's not trying to give you a bath. That's not the purpose of this, Peter. He wants to teach you to be humble, to be a servant. Now, stop and think for a moment and look what we see in the religious world. People are trying to be somewhat. But Jesus says the way to be somebody is to be a servant. Now, it won't make you popular with everybody. Now, everybody's not going to pat you on the back. But brethren, if you serve God, you know that you have the favor of God. And that's what matters more than anything else. And here's one thing that hurts the body of Christ. I've seen preachers that are guilty of it. I've seen members that are guilty of it. But because they're trying to make a name for themselves, and usually it comes at the expense of somebody else. They have to stand on, when you have to stand on somebody else in order to be seen, you've already made a mistake anyway. See, exalting ourselves comes by being servants of Jesus Christ, and it is God that does the exalting. And there's no deed that we will do that God doesn't see. And God will repay us. So rather than trying to tear somebody else down, brethren, do your own work and God will reward you openly. And how many fights would that stop among those that profess to be members of the body of Christ if we would quit fighting amongst ourselves and trying to tear each other down? If we ever figure out that we're on the same side, striving for the same thing, working for the same Lord, not talking about denominations, I'm talking about those in the body of Christ. There's so much more that can be accomplished, but too many times somebody's looking to be recognized for what they've done, and this was my idea. And sometimes you'll see somebody, they're not willing to go along with something because it was not their idea. They're not going to cooperate. Brethren, we need to learn what Jesus is teaching here, humility, being servants. And as God's people, that's exactly what we are, is servants. And quit exalting ourselves, because the one that is supposed to be exalted is God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and not any man. And here's what happens to some people's faith. They put their faith so much into some man, and that man, he fails. He's not what they thought that he was, and they quit the church, because their faith was more in a man than it was in God. Man will fail you. The Lord never will, though. So put your trust in Him and serve Him. But brethren, let's don't do any of this exalting self. Let's exalt God, because He is the one that needs to be exalted. And when we preach, we need to be as Apostle Paul. We need to preach Christ and Him crucified. That was the focus of his sermon in the day of Pentecost. When Peter and the other apostles stood up and preached, what did they preach? About Jesus Christ. Not about what they've done. Not about their experiences. They preached about the Lord and the Lord's plan of salvation. Brethren, we have the same message. And we need to take it to the whole world. And one thing that would help if we didn't spend time fighting amongst ourselves, but spreading the gospel as we've been commanded to do. In verse 10, it says, Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. He knew that there's one that's going to betray him, by the name of Judas. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. Here's something, brethren. The Lord sees the hearts. Now, Judas is there. He's in the midst of the faithful apostles of our Lord. It's possible that we can even come to all the services of the church. We can even do some good deeds. Judas, he carried the money bag. Now, obviously, it looks like he might have been misusing that on occasions. But brethren, we can come to all the services. And if our heart is not into what we're doing, God knows that. See, when we sing these songs that we have just been led in, God knows if we've been singing with the Spirit, our spirit, the human spirit. See, we're told that God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Brethren, we must have truth. We shouldn't stand for false doctrine. But at the same time, when the prayer's been led, if we don't know what's being said, we can't say amen to that prayer. When the songs are being sung, if we're not paying attention, if we don't mean those words, they mean absolutely nothing. We're not praising our God if we don't even pay attention to what we're singing. In worship, well, if we're thinking about, well, this will be over here, see, it's about 6:30 now, and he'll preach probably about 15 more minutes, and then, well, you're not engaged in worship. You're thinking about something else. Brethren, we need to be engaged in our worship because God even sees the hearts. And we can be in the right place sometimes, but our heart's not in the right place. But God sees all. God knows all, and we do well to learn this. We can't hide anything from Him. Even on the outside, we can put on a smile. We can say the right things. God sees the heart. He knows who's following Him, and He knows who's not following Him. You're not going to fool God, not a single time. You may fool men, but you're never going to fool God. In verse 12, "And so after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was sit down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. You ought to be servants." And here's what we need to teach fathers. We need to teach this in our house. We need to be willing to be servants. And of course, our society has changed over the last several decades. But maybe usually at one time where the woman would stay home, but now usually got men and women both out working in society and two people working. Well, when everybody comes home, well, how come the responsibility should fall on one more than the other? Brethren, we're supposed to be in this thing together. But now what about the Lord's church? Jesus had to teach the apostles, "I am willing to serve you." Now you apostles, need to be willing to serve each other. He's teaching them a lesson. Think for a moment. If Peter and John and James, if all these apostles, and you think about the writings that they did, John, later on we know him as the apostle of love. If they had to be taught this message, I look at myself, don't I need this message? And the answer is yes. Every single one of us does. We need to learn to be servants. And I wonder sometimes, you think, what do we think we're doing that we actually sacrifice? And only you can answer this for yourself. I can't answer for you, and you can't answer for me. But what are we willing to sacrifice for the Lord? Well, I quit watching the ball game in the third quarter and set the recorder. Hey, so I had to watch the fourth quarter recorded. Is that sacrifice? Is that the scope of our sacrifice? Or I didn't even have a recorded. I even missed the fourth quarter. Just had to come home and check the score. That's not sacrifice, brethren. I came to services and I did the Lord a favor by showing up. I showed up three times this week. That's the extent of our sacrifice. The Lord came from heaven and died on the cross for our sins. How do we sacrifice? What do we call sacrifice? We look out among us. Well, we got some that didn't come up. They need some help. They need your help and they need my help. We got some here in this community that have never been taught the gospel. They need our help. And they don't just need the help of somebody else. But Robert, he's a good Bible teacher. Robert's smart. Robert ought to go. Well, Robert should go. But so should I. So should you. We all have responsibilities to be servants. And sometimes you look around, well, boy, something needs to be done about this. Well, what about you? What if you're that one? But what are we willing to sacrifice? And what do we call sacrifice? And I'm afraid we've lost a sense of what it really means to sacrifice in the Lord's church. You go back, we've been studying in the book of Acts on Sunday morning, and going to continue that for the next several weeks. But you look at the early church, they made some sacrifices. Some of them had needs. Some obeyed the gospel. Well, here's a brother or sister who doesn't have what he needs. You have people such as Barnabas and others. They were willing to sell land and possessions. Why? Somebody has a need, and I'm going to help them out. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that just stands out that says, we'll work for food. If you were to give them a job, they wouldn't. I'm not talking about that kind of person. They saw somebody with a real need and they helped. And persecution took place because of their faith. They were persecuted because they did believe in Jesus Christ. Someone looked at them as being traitors. Some of the Jewish people looked at them as being traitors. The world looked at them as being crazy. And the persecution took place. But in Acts 8, verse 4, those that were scattered abroad because of the persecution went everywhere preaching the word. They were willing to sacrifice, even leaving their houses, leaving what they had, selling what they had. If it benefits the cause of Christ, they were willing to do it. Brethren, I think we need to learn what sacrifice is. In verse 15, it says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Verse 15 is critical to this study because some people, as I said, will take a verse out of context. See, Jesus is washing their feet. But read verse 15 again. "For I have given you an example." Not how to worship. I've given you an example of how to serve, how to humble yourselves, how to be servants. There's the point of His message. And ye need to do likewise. And brethren, that still applies to us today. We need to be servants of Almighty God. And have we ever stopped to think what a blessing, what a privilege it is that we can call God our Father and that He would permit us to do this? The one that spoke this world into existence would allow us to come before His throne and ask the things that we have need of, and to give Him our gratitude. And sometimes we think about what we don't have. Brother, we need to be thinking about what we do have. We live in a land of plenty. We have so much, and we take it for granted. And we think that it's owed to us. You look at all the powerful countries that have ever existed, and they turn from God. Without exception, every single one of them fell. You look at what's taking place in the Middle East. You see what took place in Egypt. You see what's taking place in Libya and other places. Look how quickly things change. Look how quickly somebody that was in power is no longer in power. Brethren, we need to understand the same thing can happen here. Now, persecution could take place, not just somebody saying something to you that hurts your feelings either. Would we still serve God? Here's how we would be ready for that. Is that we must prepare ourselves now that it doesn't matter what may come. It doesn't matter what may happen. I will determine in my heart right now that I will serve God until the day that I die. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had that attitude before they were put in the fiery furnace. They had that attitude before they were even faced with the question. Had they waited till the time that it's, well, you're either going to bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar, or you're going to be put in the fiery furnace, if they didn't have their mind made up before this, they might not make the same decision. Their mind had been made up a long time ago. We'll serve God, no matter what. You can kill us. You can burn us to death. We're still going to serve God. What about us? We're not guaranteed that America's going to still always be a world power. We certainly, as a whole, as a nation, have gotten away from removing God out of everything. Rather, don't think that we can't fall. Don't think that it can't happen here. I would imagine some of those leaders that have been removed thought they'd always be the one in power, and they're not. See, things change rather quickly, and we never know when persecution may come here a lot more than we've ever experienced. So we need to determine right now within our hearts, because if our faith is weak, that it's borderline, that we just barely hanging on serving God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You need to increase your faith. That way when the test comes, you'll be able to pass the test. Because Satan's going to throw those obstacles out there. What we do with them is largely going to be determined by what we do right now. See, right now, we can open our Bibles freely, daily. Some countries it's illegal to be caught with one. Who says it's always going to be that way here? So don't take so much for granted. Your faith could be tested. Your faith will be tested. Make sure that your faith grows stronger now, that you may be ready when that day comes, because it can come in a day when you were not anticipating. Picking back up with the reading, in verse 16, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." There's a key. If you know these things, well, I know the Word of God good as you do. Well, that's good. But if you don't use them, brethren, it won't do you a bit of good. There's a lot of people that are not in this auditorium tonight that chose not to come to worship, that know the Bible probably quite well, at least certainly the plan of salvation. But Jesus says, happy are ye if, conditional, if ye do them. What if you know these things and don't do them? What if you're not willing to be a servant? The Lord told you to be. You know that you should be. But what if you're not a servant? You're not happy because you're not pleasing the Lord. You're not happy because you're trying to live with one foot in the church and one foot in the world. You're not doing a very good job at either one. Being servants. Not always being served, but being servants of our Lord. And verse 18 says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. This is a prophecy, Psalm 41:9. It had already been predicted. It's happening just exactly like the prophecies had said. Now I tell you, before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Well, who sent Jesus? It was God, the Father. This evening, if you're not a Christian, you need to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. But as children of God, if you haven't been a servant, you've got some repenting to do.